ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय From Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 4 and chapter number 12 entitled Dhruva Maharaja Goes Back to Godhead, text number 8. Maitreya Vacha. स राजराजेन वारयच्चोदितो ध्रुवो महाभागवतो महामती अरौ स वाव्रे चलितं स्मृतिं यया तरति अयत्नेन दुरत्ययम् मैत्रीय उवाच स राजराजेन वाराय चोदितो ध्रुवो महाभागवतो महामती अरौ स वाव्रचलितं स्मृतिं यया तरति आयत्नेन दुरत्ययम् तमः वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग मैत्रेय उवाच द ग्रेट सेज मैत्रेय सेड सा हि राजराजेन बाय द किंग ऑफ किंग्स Kuvera, Varaya, for a benediction, Chodita, being asked, Dhruva, Dhruva Maharaja, Mahabhagavata, a first class pure devotee, Mahamati, most intelligent or thoughtful. Arav, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sa, he, Vave, asked. Achalitam, unflinching. Smritim, remembrance. Yaya, by which, Tarati, crosses over. Ayatnena, without difficulty, duratyayam, unsurpassable, tamaha, naysense. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, when thus asked to accept a benediction from Kuvera, the Yaksha Raja, the king of the Yakshas, Dhruva Maharaja, the most elevated pure devotee, who was an intelligent and thoughtful king, begged that he might have unflinching faith in and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For thus, a person can cross over the ocean of naysayance very easily, although it is very difficult for others to cross. Translation in response, please. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, when thus asked to accept a benediction from Kuvera the Yaksharaj, king of the Yakshas, Dhruva Maharaja, that most elevated pure devotee, who was an intelligent and thoughtful king, beg that he might have unflinching faith in and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For thus a person can cross over the ocean of nascence very easily. Although it is very difficult for others to cross. Purport. According to the opinion of expert followers of Vedic rites, there are different types of benediction in terms of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. These four principles are known as Chatur Vargas. Of all the Chatur Vargas, the benediction of liberation is considered to be the highest in the material world. To be enabled to cross over material nascence is known as the highest Purushartha or benediction for the human being. But Dhruva Maharaja wanted a benediction which surpasses even the highest Purushartha, liberation. He wanted the benediction that he might constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord. This stage of life is called Panchama Purushartha. When a devotee comes to the platform of Panchama Purushartha, simply engaging in devotional service to the Lord, the fourth Purushartha, liberation, becomes very insignificant in his eyes. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has stated in this connection that for a devotee, liberation is a hellish condition of life. As for sense gratification, which is available in the heavenly planets, the devotee considered it to be a will-o'-the-wisp, having no value in life. Yogis endeavor to control the senses, but for a devotee, controlling the senses is no difficulty at all. The senses are compared to the serpents, but for a devotee, the serpent's poison teeth are broken. Thus, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has analyzed all kinds of benediction available in this world, and he has clearly declared that for a pure devotee, they are all of no significance. Dhruva Maharaja was also a Mahabhagavata or a first-class pure devotee, and his intelligence very great, Mahamati. Unless one is very intelligent, one cannot take to devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Naturally, anyone who is a first-class devotee must be a first-class intelligent person and therefore not interested in any kind of benediction within this material world. Dhruva Maharaja was offered a benediction by the King of the Kings, Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, whose only business is to supply immense riches to person within this materialistic world. He is described as a king of kings because unless one is blessed by Kuvera, one cannot become a king. The King of Kings personally offered Dhruva Maharaja any amount of riches, but he declined to accept them. He is described therefore as Mahamatihi, very thoughtful or highly intellectual. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Salakya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrijatam Jagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Sri Vishakanvitamsha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసారి గౌర భక్తవింద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ సీకింగ్ ద బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ అసెంబ్ల్డ్ డివోటీస్ లెట్ మీ స్పీక్ సమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఫర్ మై ఓన్ ప్యూరిఫికేషన్ సో హియర్ ధ్రువ మహారాజ్ అ గ్రేట్ కింగ్ ఈజ్ మీటింగ్ అనదర్ ఇన్ అ కింగ్ హూ ఈజ్ కువేర ఈజ్ లైక్ ద ట్రెజరర్ ఆఫ్ డెమిగాడ్స్ ఈజ్ అ కింగ్ ఆఫ్ యక్షరాజ్ ఇన్ అవర్ యక్ష డైనెస్టీ వై ఈజ్ మీటింగ్ బికాస్ ధ్రువ మహారాజ్ బ్రదర్ ఉత్తమ was killed by one of the yaksha. So he was affected by killing of his brother. So earlier Dhruva Maharaj also was affected by this anger when he was insulted by his stepmother words. And he got anger because he is a Kshatriya, and obviously he was dishonor for a Kshatriya is worse than a death. So with that anger he want to get a kingdom bigger than his grandfather, and he wants to take a revenge against his stepmother. That time he went and was meditated in the forest, and he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, and then he understood that he was the purpose by which he approached the Supreme Lord for to get material benediction, but that actually was not very satisfying to his heart. So this time again, if you see, even though he was a pure devotee, so here you can see he is a Mahabhagavato Mahamati. Mahabhagavato, a first class pure devotee. Why? Because he has Mahamati, a very highly intelligent. So in this purport, Prabhupada is writing that a great devotee, or in that sense, any devotee, devotee is as synonym to highly intelligent. If a person is intelligent, he will be in Krishna consciousness. So here you can see that again he was affected by this anger, but this time, it's a duty of a king to get anger when the citizen is unnecessarily punished. So he was acting on his occupational duty as a king to punish the aggressor, to protect the citizen. But he was going beyond the limit of erasing the whole dynasty of Yakshas. But lucky enough, this time Swayambhu Manu, his grandfather, came and stopped him. You can see, when a devotee, if you see in the spiritual path, same thing happens, that when something goes wrong or something happens in our life, devotees, kind enough, they're merciful, come and give guidance and give correction. In a way, we don't go overboard. Initially, Narada Muni came in the life of Dhruva Maharaj and instructed him, and he followed the instruction and perfected his life. Similarly, again, he got angry for a different reason, and he went to the forest, he went to the city of Yakshas killing, and then now Swayambhu Manu, who is again a great devotee, interrupted in the life of Dhruva Maharaj and gave instruction to not to get more angry. Because it is very important that one of the instructions of Swayambhu Manu was that if a devotee, and of course Dhruva Maharaj is now very popular among the pure devotees because he has seen the Lord face to face, and his action has to be very exemplary, his behavior has to be very exemplary, and because that what, you know, Bhagavad Gita also says, if any great personality, whatever he does, the common people follow. So that's why Swayambhu Manu advised him, this anger can be detrimental. So give up this anger and, you know, focus more on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate doer of everything. So when he is meeting the Yaksha, the king of Yaksharaj, Kubera, you know, he says, you know, give benediction. Now, you know, the person who is having lot of riches, who can give immense riches to anyone, again, he is asking, you know, you can ask any benediction. So why Mahamati, why is great intelligent? Because he asked the correct benediction. He asked a benediction not like a material, but this time he asked so that he can remember the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, by which one can cross the ocean of nascence. One can get, you know, liberated. So again, this is why the Dhruva Maharaj here, it says Mahamati, very highly intelligent. Because he asked the right benediction. Not that, because he understood the life now. He understood the essence of Krishna consciousness or the essence of his life, that material benediction cannot help one. If you see the purport, the Purusharta, the Chatur Vargas, that is Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. So Dharma is, you know, religiosity, and then Artha is the economic development, and then Kama is the sense gratification, and Moksha is liberation. Now, these four are, you know, the Purusharta, but then we have the fifth one, which is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that Prema, that is love of Godhead. Now, in general, if you see, the interesting is that economic development and sense gratification. So, Dharma and Moksha is missing. Because usually the religiosity, because one wants Artha, they take up the religiosity. It's a general thing that, you know, we see in Gita also, that if one wants wealth, one approaches the Supreme Lord. Which is not bad, because like if you see in the case of Dhruva Maharaj also, that if he wants a kingdom, he wants a wealth, he wants a opulence, he approached the Supreme Lord, but the Lord actually purified his heart. So with the Dharma, one wants economic development, Artha, and then with economic development, one involved in sense gratification. Sense gratification, satisfying the senses, and then they get frustrated because that is not going to give happiness and they want to get liberated. Now liberation is something which is highly regarded in Mayavadi school and one who are practicing jnana, yoga. In fact, in our day-to-day life, we want to get liberated. Liberation means actually getting freedom from frustration or getting freedom from struggle or problem. So we face many problems. We are not the exception. If you realistically see that every living entity want to be happy and want to enjoy this material world. Some or other we want to enjoy. But the beauty is that you cannot enjoy here. We cannot, you know, It seems like we can, but it's like a drop of water when you are in the middle of the desert. That's a promise which is given. Because the structure, the system is such that this place is not for us to enjoy, but to get corrected. Get understand how this system works. This is very important. We may try, you know, to enjoy, but this if we understand, we have to understand that we are looking for the right thing in the wrong place. So it's like one person was lost his diamond ring, and he was searching for it in an alleyway in the main road. So he was looking for it, and then there is a police comes, you know. He asks, "Sir, what you are doing?" He's saying, "You know, I lost my diamond ring, I'm searching for it." And the police ask, "You know, where did you lose your ring?" "Oh, I lost the ring in that alley, in the alleyway." You know. Then the police ask, "Then why you are searching here? You have to search there." Then that person said, "No, actually here the light is more, you know. So I'm searching here." So in reality, you know, we want to have that happiness, we want to have that blissful, enjoying life, but here it is very difficult. You cannot. That's why Krishna says this is Dukkalayam, a place of miseries. And it is very difficult to find here. Even if you find, it's going to be Ashashvatam, that is temporary. Whatever in negligible amount you get, that's not going to last long. It's going to come, the graph is going to come down. So that is, we want to enjoy. But then, this liberation, even devotee, they don't want to get liberated. They are not interested, least concerned about liberation. Because, you know, Bilwa Mangal Thakur said that the Mukti Devi, the liberation, is actually standing as a servant in the doorway, you know, waiting for the devotee to be served. But he's not concerned about it. I know, in reality, you know, this liberation, everything, this is a big term. But because we get used to it, you know, we don't, you know, really see as a big thing, you know. Because we were in the initial only we been taught that liberation is, that's here you see Prabhananda Saraswati, he's saying liberation is considered as hellish. Actually, you know, in the Shat Goswami Ashtakam also, you know, there is one line I can't find. The translation is that the six Goswamis actually saved us from the mouth of liberation. Because normally, you know, in general notion that if someone is, you know, in spiritual life, they are very attracted to Mayavad philosophy, or by naturally we are impersonal. Because of great devotees and great texts like, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam and other literature, we can able to see that Supreme Personality of Godhead as a personality. The absolute truth is a coward boy. Which is a big thing, because how can, you know, the whole, everything which is coming, we can see everything in this world is from a person. So actually it's, you know, liberation is a big term. And that's why this one is least concerned, because more than liberation is a devotional service. The devotional service can afford this, you know, like the byproduct you get this liberation. That's why, you know, there was pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita that there was assembly of devotees. The uncles of Raghunath Das Goswami, Govardhan Majumdar and Hiranya Majumdar, they all, the great personalities and great devotees are assembled. And in that assembly, Haridas Thakur also was there. So they were having this, some people, you know, saying that we chant Hare Krishna so that we can get liberation. Some people were saying that, you know, we chanting so that we can get liberation. And the other section of people, they were saying that we are chanting so that we can get eliminated our sinful reaction. So we can, you know, see from 10 offenses also that chanting the holy name on the strength of sinful activities. Or, you know, we want to get liberated. That's not the purpose of chanting. So Haridas Thakur was, you know, said, then finally they asked Haridas Thakur because he was the Namacharya. They are all the assembly members. They are all devotees mostly. They asked, you know, Haridas Thakur, tell, you know, what is your understanding? What is the purpose of chanting? Then Haridas Thakur said that, you know, actual chanting is to get that love of Godhead to Krishna. And this liberation and this elimination of reaction is, you know, possible just by that, you know, like a dim reflection of chanting. And, you know, without like offenseless chanting, of course, can give you love of Godhead. But then even, you know, someone is chanting in, you know, in a purification stage or not able to chant offensively, that can itself give you or eliminate all the reaction, or it can, you know, give liberation. So he gives the example of the sunlight. So if you see in the morning when the sun is rising, but you can't see the sun, but it's already, you know, like a clear sky, but you can't see the sun. So just by the dim reflection of the sun, which is rising in the horizon, all the darkness are dissipated. So similarly, just by the dim reflection of the chanting of the holy name, even if it's not done, you know, offenselessly, that is good enough to eradicate all the darkness, that is to eradicate all the reactions of the sinful activities or to get liberation. So he was, you know, saying. Even, you know, in the previous chapter also, one of the Prabhupada write, that darkness and light cannot, you know, be present in same time. Either light or darkness. But they exist. They exist. So the light, you know, as soon as when there is light, the darkness is dissipated. So the Maya cannot be there. But sometimes the light is so dim, it's flickering. So the darkness, you know, dissipation depends on the quality and the quantity of the light. So depending upon the person's sadhaka, the Maya can be eradicated fully or it can be held back. It is there. So Prabhupada writes, that dim light is nothing but insincerity in performing Krishna consciousness. So, and also, when Haridas Thakur says this, there was one personality called Gopal Chakravarti. So he is the tax collector in the assembly of the Majumdars. He was young, youthful, but he was from Mayavad school. He was in, you know, Mayavad school. And he was little upset from the statement of Haridas Thakur. So he told Haridas Thakur and he told the assembly of devotees, he said that this liberation, you know, itself take many, many life terms. Many, many life is very, it's not an easy thing. And it takes a lot of life to get liberated from these material clutches. And how can you say that just by the, you know, dim reflection of chanting of the holy name, this liberation is possible? That is not possible at all. So he was condemning and he said, look at this emotional devotee. Look at this, you know, like a sentiment person. How can he speak like this? And he was, even if he said, if that is not possible, then you have to cut your nose. He said to Haridas Thakur. I thought that would be the reply of Haridas Thakur, but then Haridas Thakur is a humble devotee. He didn't retaliate. He said, I will, you know, you have to cut your nose if that is not possible at all. And then everyone got upset. And then, you know, Balram Acharya is a place where Haridas Thakur was staying. All the Majumdars, they stopped him. They said, how can you say like this? You have offended a great devotee. Now your life is at stake. Please go away. But Haridas Thakur, you know, he understood that this person is speaking out of ignorance. He don't know what he is speaking. And he said, yes, I'm accepting this challenge. If this is not possible, then I can cut my nose. So devotee is merciful, he is tolerant. Sometimes, you know, he is, you know, he can, you know, forgive. The forgiveness nature is there. But the interesting is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot take this. So sometimes, if you offend the devotee, sometimes the devotee may be merciful, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, he is not able to take this because you offended a pure devotee. So in 3 days' time from that incident, Gopal Chakravarti was inflicted with leprosy. And this leprosy, out of leprosy, his nose fell down. His toes, his fingers, everything melted. So actually this added the glory to Haridas Thakur. And it shows the proof that there's just by chanting, which, you know, as a byproduct to this chanting, this liberation is available. All these reactions of sinful activities are eradicated. This is the potency of chanting the holy name. And of course, this has to be chanted in offenselessly. Here you can see that even the liberation is not considered as a great among devotees because it's easily available. So we can see here. So he wanted the benediction that he might constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord. This stage of his life is called Panchama Purushartha. When a devotee comes to the platform of Panchama Purushartha, simply engaging devotional service to the Lord, the fourth Purushartha liberation becomes very insignificant in his eyes. The constant remembrance of the Lord is nothing but chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this, so yogis endeavor to control the senses. But for a devotee, controlling the senses is no difficulty at all. The senses are compared to the serpents, but for a devotee, the serpent's poison teeth are broken. So for a, you know, how, you know, like for example, if you are, you know, you're going from dharma, artha, kama and moksha, one may have to endeavor for controlling the senses, for, you know, attain, you know, doing path of jnana for liberation. But for devotee, it's easily available because a devotee engages senses in the service of Krishna. Because if you suppress, then that may come out in some other way. Or if you indulge, then it can be, you know, more. For example, if you see the three gates to hell in Bhagavad Gita is given, that lust, greed and anger. So if you see lust, if you indulge in lust, then you'll develop greed. If you suppress the lust, then you will develop anger because you will get frustrated when you are not able to satisfy the desire. So either way, we are in problem. But this lust has to be, lust for sense gratification has to be converted to love for Krishna. That is the process. The process is that we engage in the service of Krishna so that we can develop some attraction towards Krishna. Then by doing that, one is happy to do service rather focusing in controlling the senses and get liberated. Because these things are easily available. Only thing very difficult to achieve is the devotional service. Because the devotional service is such that it can, you know, that devotional service itself can control the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because that is a difficult thing to achieve. Because why a devotee considering this liberation as hellish? Why he is considering that, you know, merging as hellish? Because when we are losing our individuality, then there is no devotional service. Because when you speak of devotional service, then the three things are there. That is the service, the served and the servant. The three thing has to be there for performing devotional service. So when we are losing our individuality and merging, then there is no concept of serving, because you lose that opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That concept itself is very hellish for a devotee, because you're losing your opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and perform the devotional service. So that's why for devotees that liberation is considered as hellish, because he's losing that opportunity to serve the Supreme Lord. And here, the Kubera can give immense, you know, wealth and everything, but the Dhruva Maharaj is asking the perfect, you know, benediction. The two things are there. The first is that Swayambhu Manu informed Dhruva Maharaj that Kuvera, the king of all the Yakshas, might be angry at you because you have devastated many people, and because of his anger or his disappointment, that could hamper your devotional service. That could, you know, slow down your devotional service to achieve the goal. Because if he is angry, then, you know, that could be an obstacle in your path in devotional service. So by asking this benediction, that Dhruva Maharaj asking this benediction that I should constantly remember the Supreme Lord. Of course, you know, you can see that from the previous verses that Kuvera is also a great personality, because he also, you know, somewhat is, you know, synced with Swayambhu Manu's instruction. He said, Dhruva Maharaj, O sinless. Because Dhruva Maharaj might be considered that he committed a lot of sin by killing these Yakshas. But Kuvera said, O sinless, you don't have to worry, because these are all happening by the time factor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is, you know, actually performing this creation and destruction. You killing your Yakshas and the Yaksha killing your brother, it's not you are the ultimate doer. Of course, the Supreme Personality of the doer through the material energies in the form of time, he is doing it. So you don't have to worry. So that's what is Kuvera saying. And Dhruva Maharaj, you know, requesting this benediction, you know, even if he is little bit angry or if he is, you know, not happy with Dhruva Maharaj, because he is giving this benediction, he cannot be an obstacle in the path of devotional service. So that is the, you know, understanding of the Acharya, saying that by asking this benediction, even if the Kuvera was little angry with Dhruva Maharaj, he cannot, you know, be an obstacle, because he has asked the benediction that I constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord so that I can cross the nations. So that is the benediction from this. This verse is very important in this chapter. So I'll just stop here, and if I see anyone have any corrections or questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for your wonderful class. One comment is here. We were discussing last night in Bhakti Vedanta with Keshava Prabhu, that we almost yearn to meet Lord Supreme Personality of Godhead. We almost yearn.
Yeah.
A long, long, long. It should be greedy.
greedy, lobo, lobo.
To meet Lord Krishna. And when we have this wish, then Krishna is very happy. And eventually, by ourselves, we will be able to meet that yearning for meeting Krishna.
Yearning, yeah. Yeah. She's
very beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. In that past time, actually, the main because he was you know, like a kind of very challenging to Haridas Thakur, and he was like defaming, and even though it is assembly of devotees, like all are devotees, and they wanted to Haridas Thakur to, you know, Haridas Thakur was not, you know, claiming, I will tell what is the, why you have the chanting. We were like discussing and everything going on. And they asked Haridas Thakur, you know, can you tell your opinion? Because they know Haridas Thakur, you know, is a great personality. And because, you know, Haridas Thakur was coming from a different family and Muslim background and things like that, there are people who are not happy with him. There, you know, in that lot of pastimes happen, like Ramachandra Khan, like so many devotees, they want to bring down Haridas Thakur. And that's why he was upset, because, you know, he offended in a way that made him down in that presence of assembly devotees. But he was tolerant. The main point is, in a even Prabhupada, right, that sometimes, you know, the devotees are, you know, they are happy, you know, even if they offend or anything. But to teach a lesson to, you know, so that we can be careful in dealing with devotees. Otherwise, you know, how do we know? If, say, for example, Haridas Thakur was offended and that episode finished and we go to the next pastime. And so it becomes like this. So that person challenged, that offended a great devotee, and Haridas Thakur is a Namacharya, he's like an eternal associate of Mahaprabhu, and offending that great personality, and nothing happened to him. And, you know, how do we understand that, you know, how to deal with devotees? So at least by this, you know, pastimes, we know how one should be careful in dealing with devotees. At least, you know, he didn't ask forgiveness. He offended, you know, great personality and challenged, and you know, he didn't ask forgiveness, and you know, he didn't, you know, have that guilty feeling. Oh, you know, because he challenged and he said, you know, that to cut, you know, physical, you know, like, you know, to cut the nose of a devotee is a big thing, and the most important thing is that to you know, show how, you know, he said, I will cut his nose, but his nose fell down.
Challenge.
So, but then his nose came. So, it's two way, that offending a devotee, that is a reaction for that. Second is that the glory of Haridas Thakur increased further. That, you know, that what he said is correct. Like, you know, because Haridas Thakur also said that, you know, by chanting, you get this, by byproduct, you get this liberation. When he challenged, Haridas Thakur said, see, I'm not speaking on my own. I'm just repeating what is there in the Shastra. That's what Haridas Thakur said. He said, it is not my own thing, but by Shastra only, I'm giving this reference that by chanting this, you'll attain this. Yeah? Mere, by just reflection of, you know, offenseless chanting, you can get liberation. So, I think that's what I, you know, understand. Is it okay? Okay, we'll finish here. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.